This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rich and I both left on vacation after the same show on Friday, June 28th. And we went through a little exercise where we wrote down like 7 or 8 questions and said, okay, when we come back from vacation, what will the answer to these questions be? And one of the very first ones we went through was, will Jimmy Butler be a Houston Rocket?
Boy, that one took a turn on you.
That feels, in light of everything that's gone on, not just losing out on Jimmy Butler, but I would argue not even that they lost out on Jimmy Butler, now knowing what's gone down, that they managed to keep their core intact, got rid of Chris Paul's contract, and have Russell Westbrook. I think most would say, man, it was a blessing in disguise to not get Jimmy Butler because of what transpired afterwards thanks to the trade. So that feels like it was about 5 years ago. The other thing was the Russell Westbrook trade went down right in the middle of the Billy Joel concert that I was at. So I was completely unfocused on the concert. I put my phone in airplane mode for a little while, and Amy even said to me, she said, I'm really proud of you. You put your phone in airplane mode. And I'm like, well, don't count on it staying there too long, babe.
You got about five more minutes, bud.
If I get up and leave and go to the bathroom, you can count on that thing getting out of airplane mode. But my point with the Billy Joel thing is really not a point at all, just kind of a funny anecdote that all of a sudden a trade for Russell Westbrook, of all things, derailed my Billy Joel concert experience. But I'm completely intrigued by it. I tweeted this weekend that I don't think the Rockets are necessarily better now than they would have been had they rolled back the team that they had. I was in favor of rolling back the team. I didn't want anything to do with Russell Westbrook when he became available. And I'm going to stand by that opinion. I still think that they would have been fine rolling the team back that they had before. Now, they are...
Well, somebody put something in your blue cheese in New York, man. You got some tainted blue cheese in New York, Chief. What the hell are you talking about?
They're 10 times more interesting than they were with the previous group. That I will grant you, and I'm intrigued by it. But I just don't know... Look, Russell Westbrook's a better basketball player than Chris Paul.
Right.
There's no question about that. I just don't know that Russell Westbrook is going to be a better Houston Rocket than Chris Paul would have been.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody knows that to any degree of
But I'm saying if you asked me, if I was sitting in Daryl Morey's seat and the trade was proposed, you know, and I had the Oklahoma City Thunder on the line and I'm talking to them and here's the deal, the same deal that Daryl said, yes, I'll take it. I probably would have said, no, I'm good. And I would have hung up.
No. You're talking about a top 10 player in the league, which you and I, we've ran down that list multiple times over our time together on this show. I mean, you're talking about, there's no debating the most explosive player in the game over the last 7 or 8 years. Nobody plays the game night in, night out the way that he does from an explosive energy effort level. And then when you talk about the Rockets directly, Sean, I think the first things first is the run it back crowd, which you're part of.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around after watching the free agent activity in the West. I mean, you look at this thing and you go, it's no longer about going to Golden State in their great system and great finesse game that they play, trying to out-finesse them and maybe outshoot them from beyond the arc and maybe get under their skin. It's no longer about that, man. There's 4 or 5 teams that have gotten significantly better with not just good players in depth, but some of the best players walking right now. I mean, some of the greatest players in the game, it's like there was just a funnel into the West, and all of a sudden the steep hill that the Rockets have to climb got – significantly more steep, and they were standing there watching. They're standing there with their hands in their pockets watching. And so just specifically from giving themselves a chance to compete night in, night out. And this conversation, Sean, for me, is about the playoffs. I mean, this ain't about the regular season. This is about if you're going to go somewhere and you got a 7-game series against LA or LA or Golden State, mm-hmm, or Utah or Milwaukee, or I mean, all of those things, if you've got a 7-game stretch that you got to get the best, you got to get 4 in, I just don't see how the Rockets in that run it back phase was going to have a fighter's chance.
I just don't know that any of the teams that you're talking about, Clint, you know, yeah, the Clippers got better, obviously. They got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. The Lakers got better. The Anthony Davis is on that team now. You know, Portland is still formidable. Denver, Utah got better with Mike Conley. I just don't know that any of those teams, in fact, I know they're not. None of those teams are as good as the Golden State team that the Rockets have been chasing the last couple of years. And the Rockets gave that Golden State team far and away more to handle. I'm talking about the one with Kevin Durant. I'm talking before Durant played. Obviously, Toronto beat them in the finals last year. I'm talking about when that team was the Death Star at full strength. Nobody gave that team more to think about and handle than the Rockets as they were formed with the group that they had. So I just think there's I think it's a gigantic risk. I'll just put it that way.
But I think, Sean, when you're talking about, and this is getting off the Rockets topic with Westbrook, I think a little bit, but when you talk about the Rockets, like a big part of that, I mean, if you're not of the group that believes that Golden State was elite for more than just the fact that they had high caliber, like their system and their head coach is just as much responsible for their greatness as the fact that Steph Curry can light it up, that the Splash Brothers can shoot the way that they shoot. If those guys were playing in an isolation offense, they wouldn't get done. They wouldn't be as great as they are. Mm-hmm. And so the West has changed from that being the power and that being who everything that all organizations are compared to all this. Now it's true isolation. Your guys are better than
mine. It's an arms race now.
You got to be better than AD and LeBron if you're going to compete in the West.
Right, it's an arms race. You're not competing against a scheme necessarily.
Right, right.
And those
and that scheme's coming back, by the way.
What's that?
The Golden State team that you're an 8-point favorite to that you lost in the game six.
Well, they will once Klay comes back.
That team's coming back to the playoffs.
Once Klay is healthy. And I put them on my list.
Sure.
Last night on my Sunday show, I went through the NBA, went through the standings, and said, okay, who are the teams? Who are the teams that I feel like their ownership can go to their fans and say with a straight face, we can compete for an NBA title this coming season? And this is what makes it fun, and this is what makes it fun that the Rockets made this deal and the arms race in the West. You feel like they've got a duo that can compete with all these other duos. I think there's 9 teams out there that can say with a straight face to their fan base, and I still think Golden State is one of those teams.
But Sean, I think this, circling back to the Westbrook, I think the Rockets run it back crew, you're in a position where you'd have a hell of a time selling
that's
that to
crew.
A fan
those
base.
Are my people.
Right, and so if you're trying to sell that to a fan base,
yeah.
When everybody else in the West is getting better, like, hey, guys, we're going to run it back because we got this. We feel like we got as good a chance. Well, hell, you felt like that for the last 2 years and it didn't work out. Something has to change,
no,
right?
I get it. That I agree with. Right. If one of your goals is to give hope to your fan base, the run it back thing was probably not – that's not going to appeal to the average fan that's sitting there buying tickets and buying beers and going to the arena every night. They became an attraction all of a sudden. On top of, forget about all this stuff about how many games are they going to win, what are their chances of winning an NBA title. They're going to be a good basketball team next year in an NBA where nobody knows who's going to win this thing right now. So that I will grant you. They are in the mix. I think they would have been in the mix with the run it back crew. But not only are they in the mix right now, and I'm making a case for Russell Westbrook here, because I wouldn't have done the trade, but I'm excited about this Rockets team, if that makes sense. They've become an attraction now. This is going to be a really intriguing science experiment to watch play out over at Toyota Center, which brings me to my next point, which is the guy who's got the pressure of the world on him right now to make this thing work is Mike D'Antoni. That is the guy who has the most pressure on him in all of this.
Right. Well, I told you in the break, I've been in the Bay Area, right, in Golden State Warrior territory for last Thursday and Friday.
Right.
And, of course, I make Lauren listen. Every time we get in the car, we're listening to sports talk radio. And it was very, very interesting their conversations about the Rockets and kind of where their emphasis were, you know, their conversation topics obviously were Westbrook, but they addressed the past a little bit. And one interesting part was that it's kind of a two piece. Around here we talk a lot about the aging Chris Paul, and he couldn't win one on one battles, you know, this year in the playoffs, and he was, I guess, spotty at best, and when he showed up and when he didn't show up, They didn't say much about that. They were very complimentary. Mm. In fact, went to the point of they felt like Oklahoma City was getting a Chris Paul that's got a lot left in the tank. And the other thing was D'Antoni. It was interesting to me that they placed a lot of blame. Blame's not the right word because it wasn't that strong. It was just conversation. But the conversation revolved around the coach being responsible for not being able to make the Paul Harden thing work in crunch time, mm-hmm. essentially. Because obviously it worked from a win standpoint and a stat standpoint, putting up numbers. It obviously worked there. But they had a full-blown conversation around the D'Antoni not pulling the right strings to make the Chris Paul Harden thing work. And on the flip side of that, the point was now there's the pressures on D'Antoni to make this dynamic of the roster between obviously Harden and Westbrook to make that work at a level of where you can go out there and win when the lights are the brightest and the stage is the biggest.
Yeah, scheme. You've been talking about scheme since way back since you've been coming on Thursdays here with me and Rich.
Well,
the scheme tweaks that he makes to me are going to be the most intriguing.
Well, think about it. Like we've been watching a Rockets team where let's say Harden was pissed. There was some truth to that. Their relationship had some challenging points throughout the season, and in the past, Harden would get an OI roll from Chris Paul, right? Or maybe some bad body language. You got a cat coming to town right now that I ain't sure he won't choke your ass at half court if you don't tweak some of this, some scheme moving forward. And look, Westbrook's one of those guys. Like I've not been a huge fan of Westbrook because of the interaction with the little boy on the sideline and talking about NBA security. But when it comes to the game, and if any athlete, any former player even shapes his mouth to say something or disrespect Westbrook, From a standpoint of what goes on at practice and on game day and how he approaches the game itself, they just flat ass don't get it. I mean, this guy, my respect level for the way he brings it every night is, I mean, he's at the top of my list. He's one, and there's a large gap between one and two in how this guy approaches the game of basketball.
I don't think it's a stretch to say, based on the rivalry between Harden and Westbrook a few years ago for the MVP award. And I say rivalry. The two of them are obviously very good friends. That's why Russell Westbrook is here. But the basketball rivalry, the rivalry that we as fans see between Russ's demeanor, he carries himself like a heel. You know what I mean? He carries himself like a WWE heel. And I say that with a bit of affection. I don't think it's a reach to say he's one of the prior to this trade, one of the most disliked athletes that Houston teams go against on a fairly frequent basis. How quickly is that script flipped? Like, how quickly does he become one of those guys where everybody's going, boy, he sure is a fun guy to have.
Yeah,
it sure is fun to have him on our team when he's scowling at everybody with a Rocky Red uniform on and a zero on the back.
Well, it's a lot easier to deal with whatever it is that Westbrook brings to the table that rubs you a little bit wrong, which I mean, it does. I mean, the antics that they may rub people wrong. I've been very vocal about the situation on the sideline with the little boy. To me, that's just unnecessary, 100% petty and unnecessary. And so I've been, but when he's on your team, it's one of those things like, okay, I got to deal with maybe some of those situations, but damn, look what I get on the back end of it.
Yeah.
I get a guy, Sean, and you, when you talk about X's and O's with this team, Sean, you're talking about, and there's stats to back this up. I didn't list all the stats because I didn't feel like you wanted them or anybody listed necessarily wanted them, but easy buckets opposite Harden. Yeah. Is a big hot button for this team. Chris Paul got to a point where some believed that he couldn't do it. It was obvious in a seven-game series that there were spots when he, maybe with certain matchups, he couldn't create the space and create shots the way he once could. Easy buckets are no longer a problem with this team. And again, there's stats up there that Westbrook is one of the best in the league at creating easy buckets. And one thing that stood out to me was this guy ends possessions and from a defensive rebounding standpoint, 5th, 10th, and 5th per game the last 3 years. And when I think about the Rockets, I see Looney for the Golden State Warriors getting offensive rebounds and giving Curry and Thompson second chance shots. And that's one thing that you're never going to beat those types of teams doing. And Westbrook is one of the best in the league. Albeit he's a guard, he's one of the best in the league at ending possessions by defensive rebounds.
That's a good point. He gives great effort. And then as you're saying this, I'm thinking, okay, to me, Clint, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking, Clint and I are sort of, for us, the first time on the air, hashing out the Russell Westbrook trade, the good and the bad. To me, these are the things that have to happen in order for this trade to be a success for the Rockets. You touched on one of them. the rebounding numbers that we saw from Russ when he's going through all these triple doubles, I think some of those rebounds are manufactured. You know, guys boxing out and letting Russ get his double digit rebounds, whatever. But it doesn't change the fact that the guy's a hell of a rebounding guy. You don't get 10 rebounds a game without being a pretty damn good rebounder, especially as a guard. So that he needs to somehow take that deficiency in the Rockets and positively impact that. The second thing that must happen is that whatever the shooting percentages were for Russ in Oklahoma City, there needs to be some sort of effect. There needs to be some sort of hardened effect on Russell's shooting percentage. And what I mean by that is he didn't have anybody out there that's going to draw nearly the attention that James Harden did as a teammate the last couple years, where he's stacking up all these super inefficient triple-doubles. My hope is that a lot of the shots that Russ takes, that maybe when you do your little shot chart, you look at him, you go, okay, well, that's not the greatest shot in the world. He's going to be taking them under a whole lot less pressure. There's not going to be nearly as much attention drawn to Russ if James has the ball in his hands or whatever the case may be. The third one to me is the biggest one. And that's if the Rockets are going to do this load management thing, which I think we're going to see a ton of these teams doing, especially the ones you're talking about, that have these veteran all-star tandems who are all guys that are either approaching or in their 30s now. And watching Kawhi Leonard skip 22 games last year and look fresh as a daisy in the postseason, I think you're going to see a lot of teams start to go to their star players and say, hey, look, not the worst thing in the world for you to play 69 games this year, 71 games this year. Normally, they would have to put a shock collar on James Harden for him to do that. But they need to sit down with him and say, look, part of this is going to be you guys going into the postseason fresh. I will say this about Russell Westbrook over Chris Paul. There was zero chance you could put any sort of plan like that together for the season with Chris Paul as the second guy, because you don't know when he's going to be healthy or if he's going to be healthy. Russell's a pretty – I know Russell's had some injury issues before, but generally speaking, he's a pretty durable player. You can come up with a load management plan for both of these guys, and the big thing is, Clint, with either of those guys resting – you still got the other guy out there now playing 38, 40 minutes, and you can still feel like you can go out and beat anybody with that guy, whether it's Russell Westbrook or James Harden on the floor.
Zero doubt about it. And I think here's a unique...
Am I arguing against myself right now?
No. Yeah, well, yes, you are. Yeah, you are.
My God.
Yeah, I've seen you hammer Rich for lesser. Hey,
That's
but,
true.
But there's no... Look, there's no doubt that... I mean, what he brings to the table is special, Sean. I mean, it's a special combination, and now we have these conversations, and I know this is a lot to ask for the listeners out there, but when you wrap your head around Westbrook coming here, I ask you to do two things before the tip of the first year. You gotta believe two things. Okay. One, D'Antoni's gonna improve, right? Whatever pressure you believe is on him, you gotta believe at this point. You gotta give the guy a chance to say, hey, we believe that you're a good enough coach to where you can your job, and you're paid millions. We're giving you two of the top 10 players in America right now. Figure out a way to win games and make those guys get the most out of this two combination. Not out of Harden and not out of Westbrook, but out of those two together. So before the first tip of the first game, we got to assume that that's going to happen, okay? And then secondly, we've got to assume that James Harden and Westbrook are both at points in their careers where you talk about two players that have been tried now. Trials and tribulations now. They've been doubted. They've been cussed. They've been discussed. They've played with. They've played without. These guys should be extremely, extremely mature relative to, hey, here's the adjustments that we have to make to win a championship, right? They should be mature and developed to a point as a professional to go, okay, enough's enough. It's not about getting shots. Sometimes less is more. It's not about who's handling the ball. It's about preparing for the playoffs so that when week one of the playoffs starts, we are an absolute force in this league. And those are the two things to me that I've got to believe. At this point in time, Sean, I got to believe D'Antoni's going to take care of business, and I got to believe your two top 10 superstars that are in Rockets red right now are going to figure this thing out to coexist and be special in the NBA.
The best case scenario for this team, the ceiling got higher with the acquisition of Russell Westbrook.
No doubt.
The chances of getting to that ceiling, I don't know that the chances of getting to the ceiling with Russ were as good as the chances of getting to whatever the ceiling was with Chris Paul. So if you don't feel like the ceiling with Chris Paul was going to be winning an NBA championship, if you don't feel like they were capable, then you do the deal and hope that, hey, there was a 20% chance we're going to be the best we could possibly be with Chris. We feel like there's only a 5% chance we're going to get to be the best we could possibly be with Russ. But, man, that best we could be with Russ as our best player.
Very good.
Could win the whole damn thing.
No doubt.
Then you do the deal.
Right. It's done.
Now, that said.
Ink's dry, baby.
Now, that said, what do you think the Vegas total is on the Rockets for wins? I just got an email from our guy, Jimmy Shapiro.
54. 54 is my number.
54. They won 53 last year. The number? 51.5.
51.5. Should have stuck with my original.
You should go over.
I should,
You should put some money down on that.
Yeah.
You've been known to place a wager or two.
No doubt.
All right. 51.5, baby.
51.5.
Yeah. That sounds a little low. And I say that as a Russ skeptic.
I like 52.
52?
I like 52.
Okay.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.